SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Off and running in today's edition of Football Full Circle, right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 159, Lisi and Wetzel talking all things NFL, the calm before the storm. Preseason action is in the rearview mirror. We set our sights for week number one next Thursday night. We get the Baltimore Ravens and Kansas City Chiefs. Scotty, this is what it's all about. This is an opportunity to pick some contenders and under-the-radar teams and maybe pick off the books here in the preseason.
Yeah, we all remember Kansas City lost the opener last year to the Detroit Lions. So this is the final week where you get your props in too, Joe. I got 10 absolute can't lose props.
Cannot possibly lose.
There's no way in the world. Put them on a 10-team parlay if you can. Prop plays for quarterbacks that we'll get to here.
Really? Yeah. 10. Not one. Damn. Not two. No. Not five, 10. We went for the 10 Pete.
We both got kids in college, so that is one or two winners, not good enough. You know, we got kids in college. We need 10 winners. So
all right, so we'll get into those as the show progresses. I have some prop bets as well. We'll discuss some futures, but some news and notes around the NFL. We saw the Dallas Cowboys, right? Ezekiel Elliott was signed in the offseason. Now they get another aging running back in Dalvin Cook. Didn't work out with the New York Jets. They sign him. I saw him training in regards to the video. He still looks, Scott, like he's in shape. I think he's a little bit more versatile than Zeke is at this point in his career. What does it say big picture? Does it help the Dallas Cowboy offense because they decided to go old as opposed to young and picking up a young running back even in the draft class? Dalvin Cook still some tread on the tire in 2024?
I don't think so, Joe. He ran for barely 200 yards last year, and that was being force-fed because they gave him that crazy contract, you know, in the offseason and thought he was going to come in. And why, you know, he did well for Minnesota 2 years ago, so I don't necessarily blame him, but you talk about a guy that just fell off the map. And if you watched him, you know, like I said, they were just giving him the ball, but he averaged 3 yards a carry, and there wasn't anything left. I'm very surprised he's on a roster from what I saw last year out of him.
How much of that, though, Scotty, was the offensive philosophy with Robert Saleh and Hackett and loving Breece Hall and loving, you know, that in regards to the younger guy and not giving Dalvin Cook an opportunity? Because I got to be honest with you, I thought when the Jets signed him, it was a pretty good signing in the sense that he was coming off 4 straight 1,000-yard campaigns. I don't think O'Connell and Minnesota utilized him all that much in regards to his last season there. They decided to split carries between him and Alexander Madison, which I thought was unrealistic, and I didn't think it was too productive. Madison no longer is the lead back there in regards to Minnesota. Ty Chandler took over at the end of last year along with Aaron Jones that was signed in the offseason. So again, I mean, he can be, though, a role player, right? We saw Tony Pollard be that versatile back that could do it all. He can run it between the tackles, also catch the football out of the backfield, but limited in regards to the amount of touches per game. I mean, if you put Dalvin Cook maybe 5 to 8 touches in regards to that offense with Dak, I still think he can be more productive than Zeke, handing Zeke the ball 17, 20 times in a particular matchup.
Yeah, I'd rather have Zeke. I don't want either one, to tell you the truth, but if I had to choose one, I think there's more tread on Zeke's tires than there are on Dalvin Cook's. I don't see it. Like you said, I know they did try and get him the ball a little bit last year. I mean, 67 carries for a guy that ran for 200 yards. It's a lot of carries, Joe. I mean, I don't think it's a case where they didn't want to just utilize him. They brought him in, and they had goals of using him, but it wasn't there if you watched him play. So how much possibly possibly could he have left? I mean, his first four or five games, you know, he was getting 13, 8, 5, 6 carries, and he was running for 15, 18, 7 yards. I mean, he didn't do anything. And the Jets, as bad as they were last year, they really weren't getting blown out of games where you'd say, yeah, but they lost 30 to nothing. They're not really running the football. There really was only a handful of games they actually got blown out of. So I don't think they strayed away from that. And, you know, the Jets couldn't throw the ball, but I don't know. I think it's not going to cost them that much. Let's put it that way. This signing is probably better than the Dopey or Dopey Dolphins did with OBJ, who I got a feeling is never going to see the light of day, giving him $8 million, and now he's going to start the year on the, you know, on the PUP list. I mean, that was a crazy contract.
Yep, and that's where I was going next in regards to our Miami Dolphins, okay? He comes out, now he's going to miss the first four games of the regular season. He was supposed to be that added veteran wideout with Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, maybe a possession type of guy in regards to the back end of his career, and now he can't even step out on the field. I will say, you know, OBJ was trending back, 3 years ago to potentially be the Super Bowl MVP when the Rams knocked off the Bengals. He gets injured, the ACL, and never utilized correctly as well, I thought, last year with Lamar Jackson. I mean, you had him in the lineup. You signed him to, $13 million last year for the Ravens? And then when the AFC Championship was on the line, they didn't even call any plays until the game was signed, sealed, and delivered. Here's the thing. People have told me, well, Joe, forget the regular season. OBJ is there for the playoffs. OBJ is there for a playoff run. Do you really believe that for Miami? And if so, does this really put them over the top to where they deserve to be a front runner over Buffalo? Because even though Buffalo maybe lost a lot of pieces, I still think they're the team to beat in regards to the AFC East.
Yeah. If that's the case, then why wasn't that the case last year when he was with Baltimore, right? He had one reception against Houston, only 3 for 22 yards against Kansas City, a game obviously they lost and needed to move the football. So I don't think so. I didn't. If you wanted to bring him in, I thought it would be a distraction. Maybe that won't be the case, but giving him $8 million, that's a lot of money for a wide receiver. I mean, no, it's not in the 20s like some of these guys are getting now, but that's a big part of your salary cap. 1 year, $8 million, you got to fit that to your cap. I don't see it, Joe. There's so few guys in football that you could point to that said, all right, had a bad year last year, and now he's 30, and now all of a sudden he's going to have a great year the next year. These guys don't bounce back from that. You know, if you have a bad year, and like you said, he's been trending down since he blew out his knee there in the Super Bowl, they don't bounce back from that. They're too old. They don't have that ability. So I don't think he's going to get more than 20, 25 catches. I really don't. And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, he starts the year on the PUP list and he ends up not playing a single down.
Yeah, I agree with you, Scotty. And again, you know, depending upon what this Miami team looks like in the early start, we know they could throw it. We know that Mike McDaniel can out scheme any coach that potentially is under 500. The concern that I have time and time again is could that defensive unit, elevate itself to be a top 10 unit in the NFL and take games over when Tua's not on his best, when Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill aren't making the plays, when it's a cold weather environment in Arrowhead and you're down 26-7, can you actually take a game over when it matters and can you run the football, right? That has been the Achilles heel. Think about it. Even though we had Ricky Williams, that has been the one bright spot in all when Juan Sat was there as head coach. That has been the one bright spot for Miami. Outside of that, I don't care about, you know, Jabari Wright that was just taken in regards to the draft, and then now with Devin Achan from Texas A&M, and you want to Mostert and all these scat backs. You know, can you run it when the game is on the line and on the road in the playoffs? That has been the Achilles heel for Miami, dating back to the days of Bernie Parmalee and Dan Marino. So am I wrong, though? I mean, do you have any optimism for Miami outside of maybe an 11-6 season and one and done in the playoffs? I don't.
Yeah, Ronnie Brown didn't do it for you? What are you talking about, a wasted high draft?
Well, Ronnie Brown was at least, you know, when they started the Wildcat, yeah, they could run the football, but, I mean, come on now.
Yeah. I don't think so.
They didn't make the playoffs then. I mean, you got me going early. The Miami Dolphins, we'll come back. We'll talk more AFC East right here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Back on Football Full Circle, talking all things NFL. We left off talking about Tua, Mike McDaniel, and even OBJ, that's now going to start the season on the PUP list. He'll miss the first four games of the regular season. Does it really matter for the Miami Dolphins? I don't think it does. But, Scott, I do want to pose this, bet, because I talked about it last night. I still believe Buffalo has great value, okay? Not just in terms of the AFC East. I think they're the best team on paper. As long as you have Josh Allen, I'll buy more into Josh Allen than I will Tua and McDaniel. But at 9-1 to potentially win the AFC, you don't think those are great odds when you think about tempered down and not having the bullseye on their back, tempered down expectations when they're behind C.J. Stroud and they're behind other teams in regards to the AFC like the Ravens? This is an opportunity to really come into form with Dalton Kincaid and James Cook and all the young talent and maybe overexceed this year in 2024.
Damon, you said it. You know, the expectation's no longer there. They're only a 5.5-point home favorite over Arizona opening weekend. That tells you, like, last year they would have been 7.5, 8, maybe, and even 9. Who knows? Maybe double digits. I mean, it's come way down. There's a prop bet out there, Joe, that we'll get into here. He's one of the guys. Last year he threw for 4,306 yards. They got his number now at 3,800.
That's
over
crazy.
500 yards less they expect out of him
this year.
So I don't, you know, we've seen goofy teams, especially in college, right? You know, you always point to Tennessee with T. Martin and Peyton Manning. You know, we've seen these stars, you know, go away, and for whatever reason, the team gel and just play better and you know, do better the next year. But I don't know. They'll probably still win the division just because who else will?
Right.
But as far as really challenging Cincinnati and Baltimore and Kansas City and maybe even, Pittsburgh or Cleveland,
right?
I don't see. Or Houston, I don't see it. I really don't.
Okay. All right, so let me take it a step further because I want to get your take. We talk about, obviously, value, right? They were right up there in regards to, you know, challenging Kansas City in regards to the AFC for years now, right? They lost in regards to that matchup 3 years ago with the 13-second game. They had Kansas City in their house, right? Last year they lose by 3 points. But they're 9-1 to win the conference. How much of that is talent? Right? And how much of that is schedule? Because they open, like you said, to Arizona and Kyler Murray. They then have to go to South Beach to face our Dolphins. They then are home to a team that they lost to in terms of Europe in Trevor Lawrence and Jacksonville, but it's in their house. They then go on the road to start with Lamar Jackson on a Sunday night game in Baltimore, then back on the road to face C.J. Stroud, and then back on the road to face Aaron Rodgers. So you get that three-game road stretch where you're facing Lamar Jackson, C.J. Stroud, and Aaron Rodgers, okay? If somehow, some way, they start 5-1, that 9-1 is no longer there, Scotty. How much is baked in to the 9-1 number, right? And here's the thing. In Buffalo, Jacksonville is up against it. I don't care if we think they're going to bounce back. It's very difficult to knock off the Bills in their building. And the Jets will still jet, and the Bills still have the experience over the Texans. So, realistically, if we're looking at this, the two games that maybe they could struggle are the Dolphins and Ravens, both on the road. If you split those, you're looking at potentially 5-1.
Yeah, that's a stretch. And not only three straight road games, but 4 out of 5 when you can throw in the Dolphin games week number 2. And the Dolphin game is in September, which down in Miami figures it still will be very, very hot. That's a tough little stretch, Joe. Playing Miami on the road, Jackson, you said it, at Baltimore, at Houston, at the Jets. I'm looking at 2-3. You're going 5-1. They beat Arizona, right? Let's say that should happen. You know, you'd like to think our Dolphins would be all ticked off about what happened last year, blowing that game. So let's say they get a split out of Miami-Jacksonville. So now they're 2-1. And I could see them losing at Baltimore and then at Houston if you want to buy into the Texans, you know, what they had last year. And then
right.
Who knows what the Jets are going to be like in October if Aaron Rodgers is around. I'm at 2-4, you know, 2-3, okay. 2-4 is a possibility.
Okay, it's a possibility, but then what happens to the AFC odds? Do you think they go to 12-1 or 15-1? That would be a stretch for Buffalo. If you're banking on 2-4, then you wait. If you're like me and think that, you know what, that's already baked into the number at 9-1, right? Because the books and the algos already suggest that they're going to start slow, then, you know, that's why you're getting 9-1 right now. Right. So, for me, I'm willing to take a shot prior to the season because I think they have a very good chance to start 4-2 at the very least. And I think upside is 5-1. And you know what? Don't be shocked. They can take games over. They can start 6-0. You can't say not.
No. I mean,
why can't they?
Well, you're really drinking the Buffalo Kool-Aid. Josh Allen, he's a mediocre quarterback, and that had a whole bunch of talent around him and just, you know, was better than what they had before him. They still have, even after that gauntlet, they still have Kansas City, San Francisco, and at Detroit on their schedule. I don't, you know, listen, they may win that division by default because the Jets and Dolphins aren't man enough to take it from them like last year, but I don't see it from that team. They lost too many guys. They're throwing to, you know, to Topeka High players for his wide receivers. The defense lost a bunch of players. You know, they got one guy last year who caught a pass for the wide receiver position that's on the team this year. These guys better gel, and Kincaid really ought to take another step forward. He was terrific last year, but he's now going to be the main focus. Is he going to be Travis Kelce? You know, even Travis Kelce needed Tyreek Hill and a few of the others. I could see this team being 10-7 at best. 10-7.
10-7. All right. We'll make that bet. I think this is the year potentially they surprise. Now, they do get the Chiefs. And they get the Niners in late November, early December in their building. So think about that. Rematch Chiefs November 17th, Niners December 1st. Unbelievable, along with the Rams and Lions. Very difficult schedule. We'll come back. We'll talk more NFC teams. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Back talking NFL week number one future. Scotty, you let off the show with a little bit of a teaser. You know, I can't leave you hanging, you know, and the fans hanging for the jamboree of prop bets that Scotty put together. Not one, not two, not a few, not a dozen, right? You got 10 stone cold locks as it relates to just the quarterbacks or prop bets across the board.
No, just quarterbacks. I'll have 10 more next week for you if you want. Clearly the boys in Vegas made mistakes with these lines, Joe. It's pertaining to, you ready? Quarterback passing yard totals. We'll start with our boy Josh Allen. Why not? I'm going alphabetical order, basically. Threw for 4,306 yards last year. I get it. No Stephon. And no Gabe Davis, I get that, but you're high on them, right? So they're giving us 3,800 this year, 506 yards less. That's two football games. If the guy plays 17 games, and let's even go 16, let's just say for the sake of argument that they got everything all locked up and he doesn't have to play week number 17. Okay, that's averaging 237 yards. I mean, as bad as Josh Allen's wide receiving core may be, and as mediocre as I think he might be, that 237 yards. How's he not getting 3,800 yards passing?
All right. Well, we talked about the schedule. You think it's difficult, right? And right. I will say, in regards to the 230, So he was 230 or 235? What's the number?
237. 237 yards a game.
Okay, so he was, all right, so I'll give you the amount of times Josh Allen was under that number last year. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Six times. He touched right 237. So, I mean, here's the thing, though, Scotty. You believe they're going to take a step back, right? So you think that he could still put up numbers, but they don't win as many games, let's just say. I'll say this. At the end of the regular season, when they made that playoff run, they were utilizing Josh Allen's legs and James Cook a lot more than the passing attack. And keep in mind, I like the bet. I still do. I'm a buyer that I believe Keon Coleman will be productive. I like the tight end room. I think they could utilize Cook as well in the short to intermediate passing game. You bring in sweet baby Ray Davis, the running back now, to back up James Cook from Kentucky. He's definitely an added dimension in regards to that backfield. And here's the other thing. Stephon Diggs didn't have a touchdown for the last seven games of the regular season, Scott. So, I mean, it's a good look when you think about it. The only downside would be the schedule. Do you believe that him going up against those elite defenses that he might face might temper or slow his production to get to 4,000?
I don't think so. They're going to have two shootouts with Miami. They're going to have a shootout with San Francisco and Kansas City, Houston, Arizona. You should be able to put a ton of points on the board. So they may lose games, but I don't think necessarily. Outside a couple with the Jets, Lions should be a shootout, right? Especially on the road. How about Joey B? Now, this one I would be careful with just because of his injuries. He threw for 4,475 yards 2 years ago, and then he threw for 4,600 and changed 3 years ago. So the 2 years he's been healthy, 4,500 basically and 4,600, they're giving us 4,000.
Like that. That offense relies on Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and now with T. Higgins. So I like that. Look, I don't care that they're in a black and blue division. You mentioned it, 30-plus touchdowns the past couple of seasons before last year. What was he, 20-6 in regards to touchdowns to interceptions last year? Started slow with the calf injury. The wrist is good. I like that bet. That's not a bad bet. Who else you have on the list?
How about Derek Carr? Hold on. All right, so that let me make my case then. Threw for 3,800. Let's just say 3,900 yards. 3,878. They're giving us, Joe, 3,325. That's 553 yards less. He's done that every year of his career. Every year.
We will talk about Dennis Allen and the New Orleans Saints and Derek Carr when we come back from break. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Back on Football Full Circle, the debate continues. Scotty Wetzel giving us his stone cold prop quarterback locks for 2024. I agreed with the first two, Josh Allen and Joe Burrow, over their passing props respectively. And here comes the first debate. He throws out old man Derek Carr. Okay, and this is not a knock, Scotty, in regards to Derek Carr, because I actually like Derek Carr. I think he's a gamer. I think he's been given a bad rap, certainly with the Las Vegas Raiders. Let's not forget, Derek Carr almost led them to an upset over Joe Burrow the year that Burrow took the Bengals to the Super Bowl, right? He was on the 6 or 7 yard line. They convert that. Might have been a different take for Derek Carr back then. But I understand that he's overachieved and he's gotten through this number last year. Here is my biggest faults for or negatives why he won't do it this year. Number one, it starts at the top in Dennis Allen. I think he's an absolute human anchor that could drag down any positive offense in regards to a quarterback and their play. Number one, he wants to win games 17-13 as opposed to winning them 40-20, right? That's the first thing. The second thing, Scotty, okay, as productive as Derek Carr is, Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, who's banged up, A.T. Perry, Mason Tipton, Bud Means, Cedric Wilson. Who's getting him these yards? Juwan Johnson? I like Juwan Johnson, but, I mean, are you kidding me? Olave, A.T. Perry, Rashid Shaheed, Cedric Wilson. Are they in anywhere in near the top 15 receiving corps in the NFC?
No, probably not. But he's hit this. No, I said every year, the first year he came like 75 yards short when he was a rookie. He's hit this every single year, 9 straight years. It's less than 200 yards a game if he plays 17 games, and I don't think the Saints are going to be in a position week 17 to be sitting players. So that's 195 yards a game. I mean, I don't care if he's throwing to you and I. You can get that. You know, Falcons are going to be scoring a ton of points. The Carolina Panthers stink, so they should be throwing the football a little bit there. I know you're right. They want to win these games 17-4. But they tried that last year and it failed. Last year of his contract, you know he's going to want to throw the football and get a new deal the following year. Oh, I love this one. He can back into 33-25.
I did have an NFL insider on, Corvin Lisi, last night, and he was telling me offensive line is atrocious. Alvin Kamara is washed up in regards to, you know, obviously not the same running back. Rushing attack could take a hit, even though Jamal Williams is there. So, again, you're looking at a team that can move the football between the 30s like they did. If they can't convert those opportunities to touchdowns, I don't know. Could be a long day. This is one, Scott, I would sell, but good luck and Godspeed, as they say. I'm not taking that bet. I will say, right, I'll give you one of mine, and then we can go back to yours.
Okay.
And I know you're not going to agree with this, so this is why I threw it out there. Okay? What do you believe in regards to Caleb Williams, right, under the 3,500 passing yards this year?
I already bet his over when it first came out, so he's going to play every game unless he really, really stinks out the joint, right? I mean, he's the face of the franchise, and I think they're going to take their lumps with him. You know, Cole, if you know, check your almanac. That's what I would tell you. Check out the weather in Chicago in December when, you know, you need for him to throw 200 yards and he throws for 155 because they're not throwing the ball anymore. But I would think over. I would think, because I think they're just going to let him go back there and fling it.
All right, so that's my one under. I'll give you my one over. I believe as long as he's healthy, Trevor Lawrence, 37-75. I think he could be a 4,000-yard passer, especially when you see what happened with C.J. Stroud and seeing what happened with that offense at the end of the regular season.
Yeah, I like that too. Threw for 4,000 last year, and he, you know, as bad as the season was last year, and you think he's on the upside, he's only going to get better, right? So 241 yards less they're giving you this year with Trevor Lawrence. How about Baker Mayfield?
Love it.
Threw for 4,044 yards last year. They bring everybody back. They're giving us 3,500. That's a 544-yard drop.
Well, here's the thing. How much of that is attributed to Dave Canales now being the head coach at Carolina? Because I said this, the two most productive quarterbacks in all the NFL last year, towards the end of the regular season, right, was Jordan Love. They won 7 of 10 games during that span. He threw for 21 touchdowns, three interceptions. He threw for an average of 270 passing yards per game. The other quarterback over the last 7 games of the regular season was Baker Mayfield. He averaged 289 passing yards per game. Almost knocked off Detroit, right? We saw the performance in terms of slicing and dicing the Philadelphia secondary with a bunch of backups, right? In regards to, you know, Trey Palmer making a name for himself. I mean, come on. The amount of opportunities that the Bucks had in that playoff win, I love the look. And you know, this team now is what, 35-1 at least they opened to win the NFC, now maybe down to 30. They still have a great offense. And Rashad White, if he can catch the football out of the backfield, that's not a bad look, Scotty.
Yeah, that's not too bad. How about Brock Purdy? 42. See, I try and stay away from the Tua Tags of the world, the guys that could get injured. Because long story short with all this stuff, Joe, I looked at this stuff last year. And the bottom line is the guys that stayed healthy covered their number. The guys who didn't, Aaron Rodgers and the Kirk Cousins and all the quarterbacks, they didn't. It really kind of broke. That's what it really broke down to, Joey B. You're kind of betting on these guys. Will they stay healthy? Not will they get their numbers. So if you think Brock Purdy could stay healthy, 4,280 yards last year, 3,850 this year, 430 yards less.
Wow. I don't like that. And the reason why is I think they could slightly regress. And I'm not saying regress 10-7. I just don't think they'll be as explosive. You know, I just don't. And again, we saw Brock Purdy struggle a little bit in regards to the preseason. Do they rely more on the rushing attack? And you know, losing that Super Bowl the way he did, even though, you know, he did get points in terms of the overtime, he still lost it. Does that affect the psychological aspect of this team? I'll give you a better bet if you like it. 4,000 yards they have up on FanDuel. If you like Derek Carr, you're better off going 4,000 yards for Carr, Scotty, at plus 370, okay? As opposed to laying the 112 with the 3,800, okay?
Which 3,300
yards more? What?
No, his number's 3,300. He threw 3,800 last year. Derek Carr's 3,325 this year.
Well, take a shot at 4,000 then with that.
That's a big drop. That's 675 yards more.
You ready? You're not going to like this one, but I think that this guy has the opportunity. Gardner Minshew, 4,000 yards in that offense. 5-1. Scott. 5-1.
Yeah, he could be sitting on the bench, though. Yeah, in week number four, when they're 0-4, and then they want to bring in Aiden O'Connell.
Plus 550.
For 4,000 yards?
Yep.
I like that better. I want to bet on guys I know are going to be in there come hook or crook.
How about Bryce maybe Young? I'll take a shot on Bryce Young, plus 420.
No. You could give me 20-1. He's going to be out of football. He's going to be.
What do you think about the week one matchup against New Orleans? They're up against it, huh?
It's going to be a good survivor pool pick for the Saints.
Oh boy. Yeah. We're talking week one already. More football full circle coming right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Back talking and breaking down the calm before the storm as it relates to week one of the NFL season. Scotty ripping off his prop bets for the quarterbacks. I gave out a couple. Do like Gardner Minshew. I like Bryce Young. I think the under-the-radar players are going to step up. I'll tell you this, Scotty, and I've already put it out there. I love my week one best bet. Give me Carolina plus the 4 over Dennis Allen and Derek Carr. I think that team is going to underachieve this year. I think they missed their window, and I think Dennis Allen is dead man walking in the bayou. I'll just say that. I think Canales could get that team over 5.5 wins, but that's why they play the games.
I think so, too, but I don't think they lose to Carolina, though. That's, again, another suspiciously low line, 4.5 Saints at home. If you would have told me that line, I would have said, all right, the Saints must be on the road. But at home, I mean, Carolina and Bryce Young was so bad. They didn't play him in the preseason because I think they're trying to protect the kid because they realize he's you know, isn't any good, and they don't want the fans already before the season begins saying that he's not any good. This is the kind of battle of who's getting Dak Prescott to me, Joe, if the Cowgirls don't re-sign him. He's from New Orleans. Well, he's from Louisiana, Dak is, right? It is last year for Derek Carr. If Bryce Young plays like he did last year, there's no way in the world they're going to give him a year number three. They got a brand new owner who's probably itching to win now, not rebuild again.
It's not bad then in regards to that type of situation. I mean, think about New Orleans as a whole right now, right? In regards to their expectation, are the expectations for a 9-8 football team just to win the division, or are there expectations to win the NFC Championship? And that's why I'm not high on Dennis Allen. I think when you look at New Orleans as a whole, Scotty, I don't know if you're there with me, Danny. We have Scotty. You there with me?
Yabby?
Yeah, I got you. Okay, I just don't know if Dennis Allen is the guy to take them to that level. So Dak Prescott would be an added dimension to that offense, right? I mean, certainly he would be an upgrade to what I believe they have now. I think Dak is a little bit better, obviously, than Derek Carr. And you know, the organization made a poor choice when Peyton decided to tinkle Taysom Hill is the second coming of Drew Brees.
Right. Yeah, that was, I still don't understand that kind of the money they gave him. Boy, you know, he must have had naked pictures on somebody.
He got $10 million a year, Scotty.
Yeah.
$10 million.
For a couple of plays. I mean, that's it. That's really bizarre.
I'm gonna
but
make
I
you
like
laugh
the Saints.
Right
I bought into the Saints last year. I'm not buying into them as much as I am as I did last year, but I think they I wouldn't be shocked to see them win that division.
Okay, so Scott, let me you're gonna get a kick out of this one. Because we talked about 4,000 yard passers, right? And I threw, you know, Gardner, which you thought was suspect, and Bryce Young and a couple others, Jaden Daniels, right? Do you want to take a guess on who dead last is in regards to the 4,000 yard club this year out of all the starting quarterbacks? Do you want to take a, you can't look. He's a 9-1 shot. And what does this say about him and the team overall, putting them this low? Give you one shot.
So it's got to be a bit of a surprise. Can't be a young guy. How about Deshaun Watson?
How about Daniel Jones?
Ah, yeah, yeah.
9-1 for Danny Dimes behind rookie quarterbacks Jaden Daniels and Drake May, behind last year's number one, Bryce Young. I mean, really? If he doesn't, put it this way, if he doesn't get close to 4,000 yards, the Giants are going to win 3 or 4 games at the most. They have to go up against Dallas. They have to go up against Philly. And now Jaden Daniels and Cliff Kingsbury with that offense. I mean, what does that suggest about Daniel Jones' big picture? And the Giants made a huge mistake signing him a couple of years ago.
He's not even come close to that number. His highest total is 3,205 yards. He's been 800 yards, and then that's his best year in the 5 years that he's played. He's not getting 4,000. Not with that receiving core. Not with that mentality. I you know, but if you combine passing and rushing yards, you know, maybe, but not throwing.
All right. So let me ask you this, because you said that receiver core. They have upgraded that receiver core, okay? They have now the number one in regards to Malik Nabers. You have Wandale Robinson. That is that pocket rocket type of Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle type of player. Jalen Hyatt, one of the most productive wide receivers with Hendon Hooker a couple of years ago. There's no excuse. There's no excuse. Darius Slayton is there. He's an above-average wide receiver. Certainly the Giants have a better wide receiver core than the New Orleans Saints.
I like Malik Nabers, but who knows what you're really going to get out of him, right? You're going to have him come in and all of a sudden be a superstar right away.
Why not?
That's tough for a wide that's hard for a wide receiver to be, right? Slayton's pretty good. You're right. He's actually not that bad, but all the focus is going to be on Nabers. So you're not coming in and being the second or third guy. You're coming in as a rookie being the main guy. All the defenses are all going to be designed to stop you. So that's going to be tough for them. It's better than what they had last year.
Isn't that why they got Brian Daboll? Isn't that why they hired him, for his offensive ingenuity and his ability to out-scheme opponents? It's not like we're talking that the cupboard is bare here compared to some other teams.
No, it's like I said, it's better than what they had last year. That's for sure. Just because of the Nabers being really the potential number one guy. But he's not getting 4,000 yards, though. Maybe he gets 3,000. I think this is a 4 or 5-win football team. I don't see much more than that. In a division which, Dallas, is going to be okay. Philadelphia's going to be okay. I like Washington a lot. They're going to be a W on everybody's schedule. They're all going to be, geared up to beat the Giants. And Danny Nichols in his best day really wasn't even that good 2 years ago. This is a bad team because of just the indecision on where they're going.
We will see. We'll come back with some more prop bets, maybe some predictions as well, right here on Football Full Circle. Keep it where it is. We're coming right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
All right, closing out the show, Scotty was ripping off his prop bets in terms of quarterbacks that can't lose, right? That's how you nicknamed it. These are can't lose, and obviously
can't lose.
We're being facetious. Gamble at your own risk. But lay it on me. What else sticks out to you for this season in regards to the prop bets that the books have it all wrong?
All right, I'm going to give you two. We're going to go with the public sentiment. We're buying into the public side of things with these next two. How about Dak Prescott? He threw for 4,500 yards last year. They're giving us 4,075 this year. That's a 471-yard drop. If he's healthy, he's hit that last three years, 49, 44, 45. The 1 year he came close, he only played 12 games. So it's his last year. Doesn't look like he's going to get a new contract. They bring in CeeDee Lamb. They have no running game whatsoever. If they're bringing in Dalvin Cook, right, they have to throw the football. How's this dude not throwing for 4,100 yards? He's been done that basically automatically. And then the other one is Patrick Mahomes. He's one of only two where the number is actually higher than what he threw for last year. Threw for 4,183. They're giving us 4,225. But you're talking about, the best quarterback in the NFL, who last year was just a blip on the radar screen. The Kansas City's offense was awful. I think they're going to be much, much better this year. He threw for 4,183. Before that, 5,000, 48, 47. I mean, he does this without even trying, Joe.
So I like Pat Mahomes. Obviously, Marquise Brown and Xavier Worthy in that lineup. Marquise Brown battling some injuries. Figure he plays by week number three or week number four. I like the look for Pat Mahomes. He's a three-time Super Bowl champ, and they're looking for a three-peat, and they need to evolve, obviously, from last year. You can't be the same team year in and year out. They were the chameleon last year. They did it with the rushing attack and defense, and I think this year they go back to their old ways in terms of opening it up. I will say Dak looks good on paper, and CD got his money, so you would say, yeah, no problem. But I'm going to play devil's advocate, Scotty, in regards to, we talked about Buffalo with the schedule. How about the defense in regards to Dallas the first six games of the regular season? Browns in the dog pound, very difficult. We know how they play defense. Saints in their house, defensive-minded team. Ravens in their house, Giants, okay. Steelers and Lions. Now, first six games are not easy. And you're talking about a lot of defensive-minded teams that potentially can limit Dak Prescott. assuming that he doesn't go all out and throw for 350 plus in each of those games, do you still think he gets to that number?
I do. You're right. That could be that's the best little gauntlet defensive-wise. They face San Francisco on the road. We all know that's been a disaster for them. But other than that, like Detroit went at home. That should be a shootout. I'm thinking that over-under is going to be in the 50s. So they should score some points. Atlanta, they don't have any defense whatsoever. Philadelphia, who knows what we're getting out of the Eagles' defense this year. Giants' defense stinks. Washington, should be able to throw some yard. Yeah, especially knowing it's the last year of his contract, he's not going to get benched. You don't have to worry about that. You know, you worry about the injury thing a little bit. He missed a few games 2 years ago, but I'm confident that he's going to stay healthy and that he'll hit that number.
Do they have a touchdown prop on Dak? I think I would like that, Scotty, more than I would like the yards. Like
it, they got it, to.
Like, do they have like a 35 passes? Touchdown?
They have 28 and a half.
Ooh. So. I like that better. I like that better. Don't you?
I like both, but yeah, you might be it. That might be. He had 36 last year. Well, that's a big drop. These things are so enticing. They really are just like, you can't,
and it really
you can't do what I did last year.
The game's evolved, right? Because we talked about this last year with the numbers dropping off. Does that mean that teams are going to utilize more ball control, more unders, and more like, hey, let's get to the playoffs and then we'll open it up like KC did? It's mind-boggling when you look at some of these prices.
Yeah. You bet them all, and then you're going to lose like I did because the guys are going to get hurt. So you really just got to pick like three or four of these and just hope that those guys stay healthy. When they get hurt, obviously you're not going to hit the number. If they stay healthy, they'll hit the number.
It's great to be talking NFL action right here on Sports Grid. For Scott Wetzel, our great producer, Danny Ohlers, we'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day, everyone. Football is back.